You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray you'll be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au. Thank you very, very much. And the start of this year, we're preaching a series called Off the Charts. It's not a book series. We will be doing book series. We'll be doing actually three this coming year. So we'll be doing the Epistles of John. So that's actually three books, but that's the Epistles of John, Malachi, and a bit of Revelation. So it's going to be a huge work for us this year. But the start of this year, right now, we're doing a series called Off the Charts. And what I'm doing here is I'm just getting people in, some of the in-house preachers. I think we've got fewer in a couple of weeks' time. We've got Pastor Rocco. He's in Sydney. He's coming back. And we're preaching the best sermons that we believe is the best sermon. And last week, I preached the best sermon in 2017. And this week, I'm going to preach the best sermon. Can you have two best sermons? You probably can, right? The best sermon in 2017 as well. Okay, and the sermon that I'm going to preach from is an event that took place. Now, this is wonderful because I never planned this to have Timothy here, but this was the event where Paul would encounter young Timothy in Lystra from the book of Acts chapter 16. And I want to look at that event, and I want to throw to you three applications, three challenges. All right, so I'm going to pray, and we're going to start. Father God, I pray now that you would help me to expound your word, to really bring your word to life to your people, and that they will hear from you and not me. And then, Lord, whatever challenges that you've placed in their heart, God, will you just empower them to accept those challenges, and may you change us even more in 2017. So would you help me? Would you strengthen me? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bible, please turn to Acts chapter 16. We're looking at the first five verses, verses 1 to 5. Let me read the Word of God. Paul went on also to Derbe and to Lystra, where there was a disciple named Timothy, the son of a Jewish man who was a believer, a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the believers in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and had him circumcised because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Verse 4. As they went from town to town, they delivered to them for the observance the decision that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. Verse 5, the last verse. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in numbers daily. So what's the context there? Let me give you the context. This is Paul's second missionary trip. All right, the first one was a few years before that. In verse 1, he heads to Lystra, or Derbe, Lystra, which is part of Iconium. All right, this is not the first time he's been there. He's been there before. Because if you know your Bible, in Acts 14, two chapters before, he's been to Lystra before. All right, this second time round, he meets this young guy. He's a disciple. He's well spoken of. His name is Timothy. We find out that Timothy's mother is Jew. Father is Greek. All right. We know, if we read the rest of the Bible, that Timothy is the young pastor who would one day look after the church of Ephesus. And we also know that towards the end of the New Testament, Paul would write two beautiful letters to Timothy. This is the Timothy that he met in Lystra. In verse 3, Timothy, right, would accompany Paul. So Paul would have Timothy circumcised. We find out that Paul, Silas, and Timothy, the three of them, go off to do their wonderful mission, proclaim the good news. And in verse 5, so the churches were strengthened in their faith and increased in numbers daily. That's the context. Second mission trip, this time back to Lystra, would meet a young man by the name of Timothy. Paul goes, this is a good man, good reputation. Timothy, you're coming with me. I'm going to circumcise you. We're going to go on this wonderful mission trip with Silas, do great work, proclaim the good news. And in verse 5, we're told that their ministry were very fruitful. Many were saved. We are told that the churches were strengthened, increased in faith. Church grew in numbers. Yeah? Now, you should have two questions in your mind right now. Two questions. What has this got to do with me? Second question, what are your 3 points of the sermon? Is that right? Is that right? I've trained you now to know that every time anyone who comes on stage unpacks the Bible, you say, well, what has this got to do with me? And what are the 3 points or how many points to your sermon? Is that right? I'm glad you've asked. I'm glad you've asked. There are three challenges that I see in the text. And I want to throw these three challenges to you as you kickstart 2017. This is the challenge here. The first point is the challenge to trust God, the challenge to be transparent to others, and the challenge to trigger others. Okay, they're the 3 points to my sermon. Let's look at the very first point. The challenge to trust God, that may you trust God even more in 2017. I said to you that the first trip that Paul went some years ago to Lystra was found in chapter 14. If you read chapter 14 of Acts, you would know that that first trip was disastrous. When he went to Lystra, he was beaten up. He was bashed. In fact, if you can go there with me in Acts 14, 19, then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. Many scholars believe that Paul actually died there. Because when you stone someone and decide to drag him out of the town, you are very confident that person is dead. And they did that to Paul, dragged him out. First trip round, these Jews went hunting for Paul, looking for Paul, located him in Lystra, stoned him, dragged him for death. Now, Paul would never forget this event because later on, you see in 2 Corinthians, he brings this up. 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, 24, 25. 5 times I have received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I received a stoning. That's referring to Acts 14. 3 times I was shipwrecked for a night and a day. I was adrift at sea. Paul never forgot what took place in Lystra. It was not a happy hunting ground for him. But for some reason, he would go back there again. In, I think, obedience to God, trusting God, knowing that God knew what God was exactly doing, Paul says, I'm going back there again. And this time, what did you notice? No beating, no bashing, but this time he was blessed with a young, godly, mature disciple by the name of Timothy. We don't see it in the English text, but in the Greek text, right, Luke, the author, uses this word idui, which means behold. It's to shock the audience. It's the same word that we would have heard a few weeks ago when we studied the birth of Christ. Behold, an angel of the Lord appears, saying to, you know, Joseph, Mary, don't be afraid. It's to shock the audience. Why would it shock the audience? Because as you read the text, in your mind, you would have said, oh dear, why is he going back there again? This is Lystra. This is where he was beaten to death. But behold, this time round, no beating, but this time round, God would bless Timothy to Paul. And I love that. I love that because when you trust God, God would still do something wonderful in the midst of your bad experiences. I believe with all my heart, if you're willing to trust God, you can still believe that your place, my place, our place of what you call previous pain can still be God's place of present prospect. I believe with all my heart that what you have gone through in the past, you might say, well, Pastor, I've had some bad experiences and I don't want to go back there again. I don't want to revisit that ministry. I don't want to spend time with that person because I've had some really bad past experience with that particular event. But when you begin to trust God and believe that God is good, you might say things, God, the last time I tried that, it didn't work, but I trust you, God, and I'm willing to go back there again. I'm willing to see what you can do in this situation again. And that's what we see right here for Paul. Lystra was not a good place for him. It wasn't a great place. It was a place of suffering. It was a place of pain. But this time round, I believe in obedience to God, in trusting God, he would still go back to this wonderful town, and he was blessed with a young man by the name of Timothy. What's your Lystra? Where have you been that you're going, I don't want to go back there again? What's a place that's brought you such pain? A place that's not pleasant? Maybe a place where you failed? A place where you say, I would never want to revisit that place ever again? Don't think God is finished there yet. See, our Lystra could be places like, I don't know, hurt from the past by a family member. Maybe being hurt in a previous church. Maybe our Lystra was a ministry that failed big time. A relationship breakdown. Maybe the past sin. Maybe guilt. Maybe shame of the past. Maybe past failures. Don't think that God is finished with it yet. Whatever your fears may be, there is nothing that can stop the power of God in changing the present state. Keep in mind, your place of previous pain can still be God's place of present prospect. Do you remember in Genesis when Joseph was sold off into slavery by his very own brothers? Do you remember that wonderful story where here is a young man, Joseph, he's done nothing wrong, and because of jealousy, his brothers would sell him off, beat him, sell him off to slavery. And as you track through the life of Joseph, what do you find out? He becomes this great man, like the prime minister, second in charge of Egypt. And as you read through the story, we find out that there's one day he's going to encounter his brothers again. Can you imagine the flashback memories? That I'm going to see my brothers again, and these are the guys who've hurt me. These are the guys who've beaten me up. These are the guys who sold me into slavery. And can you see all the stuff that's coming through his mind? But as you read through the story, the very first thing that Joseph would say is this. In Genesis 50, 20, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. I love that. Because that reminds me that I can still trust God. That I should trust God. That I should not let my past affect what can happen today. I should be able to say, God, I don't like that because I've had some bad experience there, but I trust you that I know that you're in control and I'm going to revisit there again. Maybe for some of you this morning, 2017, it's a year that you're going to step out and love that person again. That person who hurt you in the past, that you say, I don't want to forgive them. I don't want anything to do with them because that past, it's still in me. But let me say that as you trust God, that God is able to change your situation, maybe this is a year that you will step out and say, I will love that person. I will want to reconnect with that person. I will make the initial contact with that person. Because I'm not going to let my past pain affect what I'm going to do in the present. Maybe for some of you, it's like visiting a connect group. You've been to a church in the past where you had some really awful experience in a small group setting that you're saying, I don't want to go into a small group ever again. It's just too scary. I don't know what they'll be doing to me. But as you trust God, maybe this is the year where you say, yep, I'm going to try that. I'm not going to let the past pain of being in a small group affect what can potentially be God's place of prospect now. So I'm going to go there. I'm going to try it because I have faith, I have trust in God that God can still do something wonderful. Maybe for some of us, it's serving again. You've been in a previous church or you've had some really bad experience in a ministry where it's just fallen flat on its face and you're going, that was disastrous. I don't want to ever revisit that ministry again. Maybe this is the year where you say, I'm going to revisit. I'm going to trust that God can still change it around. And I see that right here in the text. And Paul could have easily said, God, I don't want to go back to Lystra because it was a bad place for me. But obviously the reason why Paul went through Lystra because God wanted him to go through that particular town. For some of us, God is saying, I want you to revisit your Lystra again. I want you to go again. That your place of previous pain can still be God's place of present prospect. Amen. Trust God more. That's a challenge for you in 2017. That's the first point. The second point here is to be transparent to others. In the text, we notice that Timothy is described. We're told that his mother is a Jew, his father's a Greek, a Gentile. But in verse 2, look what Luke says in verse 2. Timothy was well spoken of by the believers in Lystra and Iconium. What does the text say? That this young man, Timothy, is well respected in community. He's a man of honor. He's a man of credibility. He's a man of integrity. In fact, later on, in Paul's letter to Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul would remind Timothy, "Don't let anyone look down on you, Timothy, because of your youth or your young age, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." What is Paul saying? Timothy, continue to live as a man of integrity. Set an example. Continue to be a godly person. Here we see a young man living in Lystra, a place that worshipped other god. But we see a beautiful shining light in the midst of a dark society. And that's a reminder for you and I that who we are in private should be who we are in public. We have to be transparent. Let me explain what I mean by transparent. Is that the Christian you are now on a Sunday should be the Christian you are every day. Are you with me? There should be no layers covering you. You should not be two-faced. Are you with me? Because what's the opposite of transparency? I would say maybe what? Cloudy, vague. I would even say hypocrisy. Because if who you are on a Sunday right now, the way you worship God, the way you pray to God, the joy you have in this community, you know, your love for one another, that excitement, who we are on a Sunday should be who we are every day. Don't put layers upon layers. The person I am on Sunday is the person I am every day. Because the danger is this, is that I'm a different person tomorrow. What you see on Sunday is not what you see Monday to Saturday. And we cannot be like that. We have to be transparent. What you see is what you get. Who I am on Sunday as I worship God with my family is who you would see every day. Because if you're not careful, you begin to put layers upon layers and people cannot see the God in you. Let me do a bit of a sermon illustration on stage. I'm going to ask Ben to come give me a hand. I'm going to ask Sam. Sam, can you come up here, please, Sam? Ben, it's just underneath there, Ben. I'm going to ask Sam to stand here. Sam has no idea what I'm doing. Oh, she kind of, but she wasn't quite sure that I was going to invite her. Let's say Sam's in the middle. And Sam is this wonderful, godly Christian. That's all right, leave her there. That's all right. Sam is this wonderful, godly Christian on Sunday. The way she worships God, the way she greets people, the way she loves people. She's transparent. We know that she loves the Lord. But during the week, there's a layer of maybe greed as a layer. So there goes the first layer there. And you can still see Sam. You can still see her. Kind of. But that's a layer. But there's another layer. And it's the layer of maybe a gossip. Because we all know what gossip is, right? And we love it. So that becomes a second layer. And the thing here now is that we can still see Sam. And Ben and I try our very best to do this right. But that's the second layer. And then there's the layer of maybe pride that we tend to put on. So that becomes a third layer. And there could be a layer of greed And the more layers you put upon layers, what happens is you cover the person she is on Sunday. And to be transparent is to get rid of all these layers so that who she is on Sunday is who she is every day. And the young... Thank you. Give Sam a round of applause. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Ben. And the young man, Timothy, is a man where people in society would say he was well respected. He was highly spoken of. He was a young man of integrity. And I would say this to you, that who you are in closed door, may that be you with open door. Who you are in private, may that be who you are in public. Who you are on a Sunday, may that be you every day. Because if we're not careful, we put layers upon layers, and what happens is that we cover up the glory of God that is in us. And my challenge to you in 2017 is to be more transparent, is to get rid of all that layer. Because in 2 Corinthians 4, 6-7, look what Paul says. Because the God who said, out of darkness light shall shine, is the one who shined in our hearts, there it is, in our hearts, to illuminate the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be God and not out of us. What is Paul saying there? That every single one of us, you and I, if you love Jesus, that you're a vessel and you contain this wonderful treasure. And what is this treasure that Paul is referring to? It's Christ, whose face we see the glory of God. And our lives should be a life where people would see this beautiful treasure inside of us, revealing the glory of God. And we've got to shine it. We've got to let the whole world see it. And if we're not careful, if we begin to put layers upon layers, we cover the glory of God. We cover the glory of God. And we have to be more transparent. So my challenge to you is that who you are on Sunday is who you are every day. Get rid of all the layers. Don't be afraid. Maybe for some of you, you say, well, Pastor, how do I do this? It's hard. You don't understand, Pastor, because I work in an office where they just mock me and they just, you know, say bad things about me if I even pray before I have a meal. You don't understand, Pastor, because on Sunday it's a lot easier, because on Sunday I'm surrounded by Christians. I'm surrounded by my brother and sister, and we're all the same. Oh, you don't understand, Pastor, on Sunday when we sing these songs, it's so good, because, you know, when I sing these songs, you know, I truly, you know, shine the glory of God. And I will say this to you, that if you struggle, right, to do this because you're not surrounded by Christians during the week, make an effort to surround yourself with Christians during the week. Make an effort. Look at your diary. Say, I'm going to schedule to meet my connect group leader. I'm going to meet this person here who's going to keep me accountable. Make an effort to meet more Christians during the week. And not just say that the only time I meet another believer is on a Sunday. Make an effort. Or maybe what you can do is make an effort to spend more time with Christians from other parts of the world, or Christians who are no longer alive. Well, how do you do that? You read books. So as you read a Christian book from maybe John Piper, who is over in the States, you're spending time with another Christian. Or maybe you're reading something from Jonathan Edwards or Martin Luther or John Stott. They're all passed on, but you're spending time with them. You see, if you spend time with Christians during the week, you're not doing this alone. And you might say, well, you don't get a pastor because, you know, the worship is so good on Sunday, because when Long leads worship, it's just amazing, right? Well, then why don't you do something simple and put a CD or a tape or whatever it is inside your car and listen to some worship music whilst you drive from A to B? See, these are the practical things we can do to help us be the person we are on Sunday every day. Otherwise, if we're not careful, there'll be layers upon layers and layers. And then what you do is you come on Sunday and you go, oh, Pastor, I had such a bad week because I didn't really do my best to shine God's glory. And I just come here for forgiveness, and I come here to make myself feel a lot better, to recharge myself so I can go off during the week and just try to get through. It shouldn't be like that. The glory of God is in us We're to shine that out. Get rid of those layers. Be the person you are today, every day. Be a person of credibility, of integrity. Who you are behind closed door is who you are in open doors. The person you are in private is the person you are in public. That's transparency. And that is a challenge for us all. And believe this, that God is also in the game of working this behind the scene. Philippians 1:6 would say this, being confident of this, that He, that's God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That gives us hope that God is working behind the scenes, helping us to shine His glory to the people around us. We do our part, God will do His part. We do our part by spending time with Christians during the week. We do our part by reading the Bible. We do our part in praying to God. We do our part in worshiping God in the car. God will do His part in bringing our perfection, completion to the day of Christ Jesus. Have confidence to know that God is doing that. Be more transparent in 2017. Who you are on Sunday, may that be who you are every day. Here's my last point. We are called to challenge to be triggers of others. Triggers. When I think of the word trigger, I think of a pistol or a gun. When you press it, what happens? Something is fired out. Something is activated. Something is energized. Something is set in motion. Is that right? Look what Paul does in verse 3 of Acts 16. Paul wanted to take him, that's Timothy, along on the journey. So he circumcised him because the Jews who lived in that area. You see what happened here? Paul noticed this young man, Timothy, godly man, and says, I want you to come with me. You come with me, Timothy. You go on this mission trip with me. You, me, Silas, we're going to change the world. Why would Paul do that? Because Paul saw something in Timothy, and Paul knew that Timothy would have been great benefit to him. Paul saw a godly man, and knew that if this man came with me, we're going to be a lot stronger. I mean, obviously, Paul wouldn't ask Timothy to come along if Timothy wasn't that capable. Would you agree? How would I say that? How could I say that? Because if you remember in Acts 15, just a chapter before that, Barnabas and Paul had this huge argument. Because Barnabas wanted John Mark, to come along with them on the second trip. But what did Paul say? Nah, I don't want Mark to come with me. Do you remember why? Because Mark did a runner on them. Because if you go with me to Acts 15:38, Paul did not think it was wise to take Mark, that's John Mark, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia. Mark did a runner. Mark was afraid. Mark said, I'm not in for this. I'm going. So Paul would say, that's it. You're not coming with me on the second trip. But this time round, when he saw young Timothy, he says, Timothy, you come with me. I'm going to circumcise you. You come with me. I believe in you, Timothy, and I know that God has given you to me, and we are going to change the world together. And if you read the rest of the New Testament, you do find that Timothy becomes this great pastor. This great leader. He oversees the wonderful church of Ephesus. He's a godly man. Paul writes two beautiful letters to Timothy. He runs the race well. Yeah. And we see in verse 5 of Acts 16, the blessing. So the churches were strengthened. And this is through the ministry of Timothy and Paul, Silas as well, in their faith, and they increased in numbers daily. This is important, people. Listen up. Is that we are called to be people who energize, who activate, who triggers others as they do life with us. Are you with me? You know, imagine someone spending time with you and then they head off and say, wow, I am so glad I spent that half an hour with that person. That person really uplifted my spirit. That person really encouraged me to love. That person really spurred me on to keep serving, to keep running the race. We are called to be people like that, to energize, to trigger, to activate, to help the people around us when they spend time with us. Hebrews 10:24 says this, and let us consider how to spur or stir up one another in love and good works. How can I spur you? How can I trigger you to love more, to have more good works? That's the challenge for you and I in 2017. That our lives be lives where the people that we do life with, they walk away saying, wow, I'm excited. I am excited. I want to try that. I can, you know, conquer the world. That's the challenge for you and I in 2017. And if you are serving right now, keep in mind, listen carefully, that I believe with all my heart that God has placed you here not to serve alone, but God has placed you here to encourage someone, to initiate, to energize, to trigger someone to also serve with you and go on that journey with you, just like Paul and Timothy. God doesn't want you to do this solo. You know why? Because our mission at Sun Life Church is really God's mission. Are you with me? God's mission is our mission. Therefore, God doesn't want a small few to do it. God wants all of His children to be doing this together. Therefore, if you are serving right now, ask yourself the question, how can God use me to spur, to stir the people around me so that they also want to love more and serve more? Will you take the challenge to trigger others to service? You know, there's a saying in the church circle that 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. You've heard that before, right? I mean, I've been to churches, I've visited churches, even our church here. I notice there are some of you, I look at the list of volunteers and your name is there. Where was Wenna? Is Wenna here this morning? Wenna's not here this morning. Oh, Wenna's down the back. You look on the welcome team, there's Wenna Lee. The coffee ministry, there's Wenna. The morning tea, there's Wenna. She's everywhere. And I love you, Wenna. Thank you so much. I mean, hashtag favorite Filipino. You know? Hashtag sorry, Anna Kobe. Sorry. He's Filipino as well, too. And then I noticed there's some people in churches, and maybe not this church here, where you're not serving at all. No ministry. I mean, to get you to serve is like to get a Vietnamese to swim laps. It just doesn't happen, right? It's just impossible. It's just impossible. It's like pulling out teeth. You just don't want to do it. So my challenge for us all, my prayer for this church, is that this year will be different for you. Because you're surrounded by people who's going to trigger you, who's going to activate you, who's going to energize you, who's going to set you in motion. My prayer is that 2017 will be a year where we're all serving. We're all excited about what God is doing here. Because if you really love the ministry at Sun Life Church, what God is doing here, I would love for you to be part of the journey. I would love to be like a Paul saying, hey, old Timothy, come with me. Let's do this together. Let's reach the lost. Let's really see the city of Perth transform. Let's not be comfortable with a couple hundred people here. Let's just really see many people's lives transformed through the gospel. Amen. I mean, if you go with me to Ephesians 4, if you know Ephesians 4, there's a section where Paul talks about the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ, right? And in verse 7, Paul would say this, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Okay? Now, the parallel, the cross-reference to this particular passage is in Romans 12, 6-8. So I'll take you to Romans 12, 6-8. And this is Paul, the same guy, he's saying this. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. What is Paul saying? Everyone in the church, we've got gifts. Everyone in the church, God has given us something unique. Whatever it is, use it. Don't hold it back. May I encourage you, may the people around encourage you, trigger you. Press that button. You're activated. Yes, I'm going to use that gifting. If it is encouragement, I'm going to encourage. If it's teaching, I'm going to teach. If it's prophesying, I will prophesy. If it is to give, I will give generously. If it's mercy, I will do it cheerfully, not grudge. Cheerfully. That is a challenge for us all. And if you go back to Ephesians 4, in verse 12, Paul would say this, why do we serve? Why do we do this? Because it is to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. We do this to build up one another. I believe with all my heart that when we serve, we build ourselves up internally because there's a sense of maturity as we serve, but we also build the people around us externally. So they're encouraged as well. May we be people who trigger others into service in 2017. May God open up our eyes to see those with special giftings in this church. And may we have the courage to say, hey, I see something special in you. Why don't you give this a go? If that is you, and you're saying, well, you don't understand, Pastor, I've tried that 5 years ago, and it was disastrous. That's your Lystra. Go again. Because God wants you to trust him more in 2017, that you can revisit that Lystra. A place of past pain can still be God's place of present prospect. And you might be saying, well, this is it. I'm going to try it. And I believe that God will work in you, through you, mightily. And may this be a year where you would shine the glory of God. Not just as you serve here, but you will shine God's glory throughout the week. The person you are on Sunday is the person you are every day. There are my three challenges to you, Sun Life Church. Number one, the challenge to trust God. Trust him more. Our place of previous pain can still be God's place of present prospect. The second challenge is to be more transparent. Whatever layers, take it off. The person I am on Sunday is the person I am every day. And the third challenge is a challenge to trigger the people around you into good works. Spur them on to love more. Spur them on to serve more. And may God bless this church in this new year. Amen. Let me pray for you. God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for reminding us that you love us.